Good morning, good people. We have a good crowd here with us gathered together to worship God this morning. That's a good thing. Got a good-looking crowd this morning, too. I'm really impressed. It got even more good-looking while I wasn't looking. The late runners came in. That Adam's a good-looking guy. Got that nice haircut going there. Great to have you here this morning. I know God's pleased about that. I'm pleased about that. We've been worshiping God in spirit and truth. That's a great thing to do any day, especially on the first day of the week. Hope you at this time would just pick up your Bible and start turning to Matthew chapter 6 now. If you don't have one with you, just grab one right in front of you. It's so important to have that Bible and read it as we talk about these important things this morning. We're going to talk about a very important subject, something that Jesus had a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about prayer, something that Jesus did a lot in his life. We have a lot of examples of that, especially in the book of Luke. But we want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We're going to read something that Jesus said during his great Sermon on the Mount. One day, a man was praying solemnly before God, and he prayed, "Dear Father, thank you so much for this good day. So far, I've done pretty well with the day you blessed me with. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't lusted. I haven't been greedy or grumpy or hateful or selfish or overindulgent. And God, I really give you all the praise and glory and honor for that. But here in a few minutes, I'm going to get up out of bed, and I'm really going to need your help to help me make it through the rest of the day without doing any of these things. Let me ask you, is anybody here who needs God's help every minute of every day of their life in order to be the best person they could possibly be? I see a lot of takers there, a lot of hands going up. Anybody here need to learn more about prayer? Does anybody here think prayer might be instrumental in us pulling that off and would like to learn as much about prayer as they possibly can in a lesson? Two lessons, actually, part one this morning and part two this evening. Well, let's open our Bibles then to Matthew 6 and read verses 5 through 15. And let's read some very important things that Jesus said about prayer. He said that when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Okay. Jesus on prayer. We'll call this Prayer 101. This is actually an introduction to a lesson on Prayer 101. We're not actually going to get into the prayer itself and break that down this morning. We're going to do that this evening. But let's look at some of those introductory remarks Jesus says about prayer. He says, first of all, when you pray, in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, I want you to notice now that prayer is not an option. Jesus did not say, if you pray. He didn't say, if you ever get around to it, if you ever make the time, if you ever stumble into a moment where you could pray, here's how I want you to pray. He said, when you pray. It's a given. It's taken for granted. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit absolutely expects us to be prayerful people. That word when he said when you pray, it indicates time. What's one of the things that you hear so many of us say so often about time? We just don't have any, do we? I just don't have any time. I don't have time to pray with the family and the job and all the sports and what have you. I just don't have time for that. Look, you must make time to pray. Let me rephrase that. You must take time to pray. Have you ever heard someone use that terminology before? we really have to make time for the important things in life? You can't do it. You can't make a minute. You can't make time. That's God's business. Only God can do that. God's the one who makes time. Every moment that God gives us is precious and sacred. And we need to be trying our best to use that on important things to try to make the most of our time. Look, we can't make time, but brother, we sure do a pretty good job of wasting time, don't we? I don't know many people who can say that they make the most of every moment of every day of their life. Some people are really good at making the most of time, but just about everybody I know wastes some time. Let me tell you something about prayer. It's never a waste of time. It's some of the best time you'll ever spend. It's the best use of time you could possibly make. So here's my suggestion to you about time. Take some of that time you're going to waste. You know what time it is, right? We factor that kind of stuff into our day, that wasted time, that downtime. Take some of that time that you say you don't have any of and spend it on prayer. Because look, you cannot afford not to do that. It's just too important of a thing. Prayer is. Prayer time is too precious not to take advantage of and to put to good use. And then Jesus said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites when they pray. Okay, well, that's a good thing to say. Well, what's a hypocrite? And we hear that word a lot. We see that word a lot in the Bible. That word's thrown around a lot in religious circles. Or what is a hypocrite? I want you to know, at one point in time, it used to indicate an actor. It used to be a word that described someone who was playing a role. It was acting out a part. Greek and Roman actors, when they played their parts on stage, quite often they'd wear these large masks. Well, these guys would wear these big masks that would actually have a mechanism in those, the masks, to amplify their voice when they spoke. And so they were playing, they were acting. So a hypocrite is someone who is wearing a mask, pretending to be something that he's not. And that's what actors do, right? Actors pretend to be people that they're not. Some actors are better than others. I think some actors are pretending to be human beings when they're not acting for their living. I think maybe that they are aliens from a distant galaxy, some of those people out there on the left coast. But anyway, if you see a hypocrite praying, what he's doing, he's just pretending to pray. He's really just putting on a show, and he's raising his voice, putting on his best prayer voice and trying to sound reverent. But he's not really praying. And Jesus said hypocrites, they love to stand in the marketplace and in the synagogues, on the street corner, and just put on a show for people so people can see them and hear them. They can say, look at me, look how pious I am, look how reverent I am. I'm praying. Let me tell you something about you when you pray, and me as well. There's only one being that we need to make sure hears us and sees us when we pray. We need to make sure that God hears what we're saying. He's the only one with the power to do anything about your prayer, your request, your needs. He's the only one worthy for you to go to in prayer and to praise Him in an honorable way. So He's the one that we need to make sure that we've got His undivided attention when we're praying. You know what I don't think this passage means? I don't think Jesus is saying here that it's never appropriate to vocalize a prayer when someone else is within earshot or an eyeshot. Jesus doesn't say here, avoid praying in other people's presence at all costs. Whatever you do, don't ever say a word of prayer if someone else can hear you. That's not what he's saying here. And look, I know some people will refuse to vocalize a prayer in public because they don't want to come across as being hypocritical or pharisaical. But first of all, I'll say I respect that. And I say that's your business if that's the way you view prayer, and that's fine and dandy. But is that really what Jesus is trying to teach us here? Because I really don't think it is. I think He's saying here our intentions matter. When we pray, the intent needs to be right. When we pray, we have to make sure that our intentions are not to impress other people. That's not what the goal is. But is He condemning all public prayer? Absolutely not. Prayer is powerful. And it's sacred privilege, and it's not a game. It's something that we should not take lightly, and something we should not play with as actors play a role. But let me tell you something about Jesus. He prayed. in public sometimes, didn't he? Didn't he make public prayers? We read in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. This is right before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, put on that awesome display of his power. He said this prayer verbally, vocally, in front of the people gathered around him. He said, "So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you have sent me.'" He actually verbalized this prayer because of the people who were standing around him at that time. He wanted them to hear him pray. He thanked God for others to hear him do that and to see him do that. It could be a good thing when we pray and when we thank God in such a way that other people can hear us do that and understand who is deserving of all the praise and all the thanksgiving and all the glory in our prayers. That could be a good thing to actually deflect that attention and that thanksgiving and that praise and that glory heavenward where it belongs. So we can set a good example, actually, when we pray around other people. That can be a good thing. Don't always wait until you can get away from every living soul to pray to your Father in heaven. Don't always wait till you're alone. But look, we really do need to set aside some time to be quiet and still and peaceful and to be alone with our Father, don't we? Jesus says that right here in this passage. He said when you pray also, in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Go into your inner room and close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret." That's interesting terminology. Go into your inner room. I think the King James Version says, "Go into your closet." And I don't know if Jesus is saying going into the mop closet or the broom closet to pray, but that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing either. But this inner room or closet can be a store chamber or any private room, any secret chamber in a house, in a structure. Now, Jewish houses frequently had a room or had rooms for private devotion in them at this time when Jesus spoke these words. Actually, many of them still do today. But one of the places that were typically used for a retreat, a place to get away and be quiet and have some peaceful time and a place to meditate would be a rooftop, actually. The roofs were flat there and you could get away from everybody else in the house and just focus on God and be isolated with Him. Have some one-on-one time. It said of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 that he would go up habitually 3 times a day into his roof chamber and pray to God. He would face towards Israel and pray to God. That actually got him into some trouble with the locals for doing that. Are there some people here who just have a hard time finding the right moment and the right place and getting the right mindset to pray? I know some people struggle with that. I'm the kind of person, I can pray just about anywhere. I can get in that mode, and I can do that in a car. I can do that just about anywhere. Some people struggle with that. I want to suggest that it's not a bad idea to designate such a place of prayer within your house, within a room in your house. Maybe designate one of the rooms in your house a prayer chamber or a prayer room. Look, that's not to say one place isn't as good as another, because it is. God's not restricted to any location. God's going to hear your prayer whenever you pray. But some people have a tough time getting to that prayer mode, to getting that right mindset. They struggle with that frame of mind. It's hard for some people to tune other people out, to tune other distractions out. People who live with other people, with children, or with other adults can be even worse. But let me say that if you have a designated place to associate with prayer, that might help. You pray better and stay focused longer. Does anybody here have trouble falling asleep at night? Some people do. And you know, studies have suggested when you go to bed, just make it a place to sleep and not a place to watch TV and read books and eat your meals, that your mind's going to make association that when you get in that bed, it's sleep time. It's not activity time. It's not romper room time. It's time to go to bed. And that sets them, it gives you a mindset for sleep. Can it work the same way with prayer? If we designate a certain place or we're going to go, maybe a chair in a house or a room or a closet or whatever, if we designate that as a place of prayer, when we go to that place, it might help us get us in that mindset. Might be a trigger to say, look, it's time to pray now and get us in that proper frame of mind. Just a suggestion. It's not going to work for everybody. If you have a household of people, a house full though, it's not a bad idea to designate a prayer room though, and to let them know that at a certain time of the day when you're in there, maybe put a sign on the door that no distractions are allowed when mommy or daddy or whoever it is in prayer mode in their prayer room. One way or another, we need to make sure that we let other people that we're living with in our house understand how important prayer is to us. Because if we don't make that clear to them, it's going to be difficult for us to ever find a good environment to pray in. And it's going to be tough for them too, because you're never going to help develop that good prayer habits in their lives as well. Let the people who you live with know how important prayer is to you. And it's going to be more easy for you to get into that mode and to find that time and to find that place to do that. It's not going to work for everybody. I understand that. Not everybody operates the same way. Not everybody's mind runs in the same circles. And some people live in small houses that are just don't have a whole lot of options. Some people are just overrun with children and relatives all over the place. So don't let that be excuse to not find your quiet time with God just because you can't find a place like that. You can still go to a place, find an inner chamber of the mind where you can spend some one-on-one, private, quiet time with your God. You know who did that? You know who found a way and a place and the ability to do that on several occasions? Jesus Himself did that. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus was the busiest man who ever walked the face of the earth. And He had more people crowded around Him and clinging to Him than you ever could possibly have in your life. You may think that that's not the case, that you got people hanging on your apron strings all the time. But Jesus took advantage of gardens and hillsides and mountaintops to go and retreat to pray to His Father in private, one-on-one, to make that special time that we all need to make. And we don't always have to lock ourselves in a closet, and we should pray with our families. Parents should pray with their children. Mommies should pray with their children, and daddies should pray with their children, and husbands should pray with their wives. But none of us should neglect our one-on-one time with God. None of us. We owe it to each other to give each other time to spend with our Father in private. All right, what else does Jesus have to say about prayer? He said also when you pray in verse 7, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. Now, when a heathen would be praying to one of his idols, one of the things that he would do would just repeat the same thing over and over and over again. It's said of the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 26. You remember that great contest that Elijah had with the prophets of Baal? They set up these altars and put this meat on it, and they put their gods to the test. Who will show you whose God is really powerful and who really works and who really lives? Let him come down and consume the sacrifice on this altar. Let him send the fire. And here's what the prophets of Baal did. It says in 18 of 1 Kings, in verse 26, it said, they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped around the altar which they had made. And they just repeated that same thing over and over and over again. Oh, Baal, answer us, for hours and hours. Obviously, there was no answer. And it just turned into a chant, just a mantra, just a meaningless, mindless mantra. And let me tell you something about prayer. That doesn't work with a false god, an idol, and it doesn't work with the one true, real God of heaven either. Don't just repeat things over and over and over to God. Talk to God. Pour your heart out to Him. Open your heart up to Him. Let Him know what's on your mind. Let Him know how much you're hurting. Let Him know how afraid you are. Let Him know how bad you're struggling. Let Him know what you want. Let Him know what you need. He cares for you. He doesn't want you just to throw words up in the air to Him just out of rote and things that you've remembered and things that you repeat over and over and over again just for the sake of having something to say. Now, Jesus said they suppose that they are going to be heard for their many words. Another thing I don't want you to fall into the trap of and make the mistake of is to think that the more words you say, the better God is going to hear you. That's not how it works. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of times we fall into the habit, the pattern of saying things over and over and over again is because we don't feel like we have enough to say. You don't have to say a long, wordy prayer to talk to your Father and spend personal time with Him and let Him know what's on your mind. Prayer doesn't have to be long to be effective. Prayer doesn't have to be long to be prayer. I want you to look at Elijah's prayer that he prayed while those other fellows, or after those other fellows, were dancing around and chanting in the air and making fools of themselves and cutting themselves open. It says Elijah in verses 36 and 37 of 1 Kings 18, he said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you're God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again." It was a very simple prayer, a very respectful prayer, a very direct prayer, a very honest prayer. And what happened? God answered it. He sent fire down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the dust of the ground and the water that He poured around it. It didn't have to be long and wordy He didn't have to impress anybody when he was trying to get God's attention. He just prayed to Him honestly and openly and sincerely. He didn't pray at God. He prayed to God. And God heard him and He answered him. Talk to God. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's in your mind. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how appreciative you are of Him, of everything, for everything that He's done for you. Talk to Him. Let me say something to the men who lead prayer in publicly in the congregation. This is good advice, even if you're doing that as well. I want to strongly urge everyone here who leads prayer from time to time, don't worry about leading a good prayer. Some of us get so hung up on leading good prayers that we forget to pray. We get up here with something that we have memorized, not that that's always bad, or we get up here with the things that we always say out of habit because we're afraid we might mess up and say the wrong thing and not be that, just word that beautiful, perfect prayer. Let me tell you something about God. He's not going to be impressed by anyone's ability to master the English language. It's just not going to happen. He's not impressed by those kind of things. What He's impressed by is sincerity and honesty and truth. And He wants you to open your heart up to Him and pray to Him. And I think that's true with public prayer as well as it is with private prayer. Now look, we should be appropriate in the things that we do. We should be respectful. We should be truthful. But take time to do it from the heart. Let Him know how awesome you think He is. It's okay just to tell Him that. And when you're leading a public prayer, let Him know that He is the awesome God of heaven and how much you love Him and appreciate Him for everything that He has done for you and the people in your life. And ask Him to bless the people that you want Him to bless. And ask Him to do the things for the church that you want Him to do for the church. You don't have to get up here and quote this beautifully worded prayer that's going to impress a whole lot of people for it to be effective. And I want to make a suggestion for all people when they're praying at any time, in any place, any capacity. Don't fall into the trappings of repetition. You're going to find yourself saying things out of habit. I'm not suggesting it's never good to repeat things you said before, because it is sometimes. That's part of having a prayer language, if you will. Sometimes you repeat the same types of things when you pray, because it's a respectful thing to do. And that's all right, but think about what you're saying to Him and not just say the things that you always say. At best, that can be thoughtless of us, not putting any thought into our prayer. At worst, it can be meaningless. When we say the same things over and over to God when we pray, you know what we're really indicating? You know what we're really implying? Is that we don't have anything of significance to talk to our Father about. I want you to think about that. You think about the people in your life that you can't wait to get on the telephone or see in person. You've got to tell them the story, right? You tell them about the things that happened to you at work, or you can't wait to tell somebody about something that your child said or something that your grandchild said, right? This story, you've got to hear what little Mary said. This is the funniest thing. And we get to God and we lock up. We don't have anything to say to Him. Can't we go to our Father in heaven and tell Him how much we love those people that He has blessed us with in His life? How much we appreciate Him for giving us our children and giving us our grandchildren and giving us our jobs? Can't we go to our Father in heaven and pray for protection for these people that we love so much? And to ask Him to watch over them and to take care of all their needs? Can't we pray for our children and our grandchildren that they'll obey the gospel? That they'll be faithful Christians for all the days of their lives? That they'll grow to be healthy, happy, faithful people in their lives? We've got a lot of things to talk to God about. We got a lot of things we talk to other people about. Why can't we talk to God about these things? I don't want us to be flippant about it, be silly about it. We can be reverent about these things. We don't have to tell God stories like we tell other people, but we can talk to God about the people that the stories are about, can't we? Certainly we can. When we think about the people that God has blessed us with in our lives and how much they mean to us, isn't that reason enough just to drop down on your knees and praise the God of heaven for how greatly He has blessed you? Another suggestion I want to make to you about prayer is don't think that all prayer has to be lengthy, secret chamber moments before it's a worthy moment to go to God in prayer. Because look, when you do that, then you're really going to limit yourself in prayer. Talk to your Father as often as you possibly can. Even if you want to tell Him some quick little tidbit of something, just some little thing, share those little precious moments with Him like you share with the other people. You tell people a quick story sometimes, don't you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 is the second shortest verse in the Bible. I think we all know what the shortest verse is in John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Let it be a continual thing. At the drop of a hat, let us be at the ready and willing to talk to our Father about anything and everything that's important in our lives. Let prayer not be so much what we do, but who we are as people. Let us develop good prayer habits. Be prayerful people. And there's never going to be a day go by in our lives that we're not going to have stopped and talked to our Father at least a dozen times during that day. Can you imagine being in a house with your wife or your children and going a whole day without talking to any one of them? Now, some of us don't have to imagine that. Sometimes we get mad and we pout and we clam up and we don't talk to them. That's not a good thing, is it? We need to talk to the people that we care about in our lives. Folks, there's no one more important than we need to talk to than God. And let me tell you, that's not for His benefit. He's not benefited one bit by your prayer. You are. I'm not trying to get you to do anything that God doesn't want you to do because it's absolutely the best thing in the world for you. Well, the last thing we'll look at this morning before we wrap things up is what Jesus said in verse 8. The last preliminary thing He said before He actually taught us how to pray. He said, your Father knows what you need before you ask. But you know what? He wants you to ask anyway. Ask Him anyway. Tell Him anyway. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what you're thinking before you know it. But talk to Him. Develop a relationship. That's what this is about. It's about having a relationship with God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, we read, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him?" Your Father in heaven loves you so very much. Did you know that? I mean, He adores you. And He wants to give you the best things this world has to offer. He really does. You're His precious child. He thinks the world in all of you. Anybody here like to give their children gifts? All of you, right? How much more does your perfect Father in heaven, willing and able and desires to give you good things? Now look, He knows what you need before you ask. Make no mistake about that. But He wants you to let Him know how much you need those things? No. He wants you to let Him know how much you need Him. Because when you ask Him for the things that you want and need, you're letting Him know how utterly dependent you are upon Him and how you understand that He's the one who gives it all anyway. And we'll take a close look at that actual prayer that Jesus taught tonight. We'll break that down. We'll pull just as much meaning out of that as we can this evening. I really hope you come back. Share that lesson with us. But right now, you can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 336. Just a moment to encourage you to obey the gospel if you haven't done that yet. Obey the commands associated with salvation. Because look, there's one thing that's impossible for you to do if you haven't been saved. And that is to pray your way into heaven. As powerful as prayer is, as awesome a tool as it is, a blessed privilege as it is, no lost person can pray their way into heaven. There's no sinner's prayer to pray like so many people in this world suggest you do. Just say, accept Jesus in your heart and say the sinner's prayer. You look in this Bible from cover to cover, you're not going to find it. That's man's formula for salvation. That's not God's. So, before God even offers you the privilege of prayer, you have to take Him up on His offer of salvation. Do you understand how privileged a thing prayer is? That's something that God gives to people who are in a unique, special relationship with Him. That's not available to just anybody. Now, people can do it, but it's going to be vain. People who are lost and have no relationship with God, no love for Him, don't want to obey His commandments, they're just going to go to Him when they have requests. It doesn't work that way. Is that how it works in your life? That people can just walk all over you, ignore you, but when they want something, you just come on and I'll just let you have whatever you want. That's not how it works. God tells you what you need to do to be saved. And those steps are right up there on the overhead projector. You have to believe what it is He tells you. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. It's your sins that keep you separated from God. You have to be willing to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. Then and only then, when you come up out of that grave of baptism, does God make that special privilege of prayer your honor to participate in. Can we do that for you this morning? Can we baptize you into Christ? We stand ready to do that right this moment. Once you come down, let us know you need to do that while we're standing and singing.